an interview with Retha Bowman, Retha Kale Bowman, on May 2nd, 2003. Please tell me when and where you were born.
I was born in Enterprise, Oregon, at the hospital, I think, in December 17th, 1918.
And why were your parents in Enterprise?
My folks owned a ranch on in the East Hills out of Enterprise. My mother had homesteaded 160 acres right next to 160 acres that her sister had inherited. And so Dad gave up his job with the railroad here and very foolishly, if I might say, moved to the East Hills of Enterprise to farm.
Now when you say homesteaded near Enterprise, do you mean that literally?
Yes.
The very first owner or settler on that piece of land?
Yes. You stayed on it. You had a little cabin built or something, mm-hmm. You know, and you stayed so many, you didn't stay all a year, you stayed so many days on that cabin, in that cabin, and I don't know what the rules were exactly, did something with the land, and so she received 160 acres. Her father has six daughters, and he saw that each one of them got to do something like that and backed them so that they had their own land.
The first Homestead Act was in 1862, and I suppose in the Wallowa Valley, very few people were homesteading quite that early.
She's probably in the records.
Right. And also, very few women.
That's right.
Given homesteads. Do you know why she was given it rather than a man?
Well, I think her father, because he had six daughters and he was a heads-up man, wanted to see that his daughters had as much opportunity as anybody else. Mm-hmm. They all became teachers, and they all taught in Wallowa County. They moved around in the county from school to school, except the youngest one, Maddie, and she only taught about 6 months and married and did not teach anymore. But I think he just backed her. Saw that she, you know, that they signed the whatever they had to sign and that she was out there so many days. And Mara, I think they put their cabins near each other.
So she was homesteading, that is doing some farming, I suppose, as well
yes,
as teaching.
Yes, I don't know.
Do you remember hearing her talk about her early days?
Oh, yes. She went out to teach at 17. She taught a lot of boys that were a lot bigger than she was, because in those days, kids just went maybe 6 months or 3 months, whatever they could, and then they worked on the farm, or the weather was too bad. And she lived in people's homes, and she taught it like a Swamp Pretty. I would have to get the book out and read it, because I don't remember all that.
What training did she have to teach?
She graduated from high school and took a test.
And she tell you about
she
that?
Had high mark. Oh, yes, yes, yes. My mother would have a lot more interesting history than I do.
Did she leave any records of her teaching or anything related to it?
Oh, it's been so long ago. No, not what wouldn't be in that book that from Wallowa County.
Well, I just wondered, since you were her daughter, she might have left certain items to you that no one else would know.
Oh, I have her first bell.
Her
school bell.
Oh, really?
It's right over there.
Uh-huh.
She would ring.
Uh-huh.
She told a story one time about a boy that she was... Oh, she's a lot more interesting to talk about than I am. And her first day of school, the school board came and sat by the stove in the back of the room, because they had run the last teacher out, and they were going to have Miss Rotten control these kids. Well, Mom said she would have done a lot better if they'd stayed home. And then one day out on the playground, this big kid crawled out the window, and she said, before I thought, I just said, you get your bod right back in that building. And of course, Mother didn't say bod, but he did. I couldn't believe it. Let's see. I love my mother, and my mother was a wonderful woman, and she's been very hard to live up to.
Do you think she controlled the more unruly kids just by the force mm-hmm. of her character?
Mm-hmm. I could too. I was principal at Allen City quite a while. Not by anything I did or anything, but I expected them to do what they were supposed to do, and they did it.
They can read the signals pretty readily. Why did she move around so much in where she taught?
I don't know. They did that in those days. She taught 1 year out at Deer Creek.
She wasn't run out of each school, was
she? Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right.
I think her folks moved back over to Swamp Creek. I think her folks lived in Deer Creek. And she taught there 1 year, and then they moved back to Swamp Creek, I believe. I have some of that in a book.
Are Deer and Swamp Creek near Enterprise?
Yeah, Swamp Creek is south to the west, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Then her sister Fanny, the next girl, who was Delmyra, she was just a year younger. She went into the Deer Creek school where Mom had been, and Mother taught at Swamp Creek. I don't know. Teachers moved around a lot.
You don't know why?
Wasn't anything bad. It was just, I don't know.
You think it was usually by their choice?
Yes. Oh, yes. They did that in Union County, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Were you at any time a student of your mother's?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that experience?
Oh, yes. Yes, I went to Lead Canyon School with my mother. She taught at, they left the farm and moved to Hood River, and they were down there about 3 years and worked for a farmer. Mother took care of the lady who was in a wheelchair, and dad worked in the orchard. They lost the farm because not because dad didn't have good crops, but because there was only one or two combines in the valley, and about 3 years in a row, they did not get to his farm before it rained. And if it rains and rains and rains, grain grows again in the head, no matter how good it is. And so they.
When you say they didn't get, you mean harvesting crews that he hired?
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't get to them in time. So they left. Our county with what, Mom, say $25. Went over to Umatilla and came across the. And I don't know why they went that way. I don't know. But they were on the other side of the Columbia and came across on the ferry.
Patterson
and
ferry.
I was about three. Yes. Yeah. I was about three, and Reba was one and a half. We're about a year and a half apart. But I can remember Mother telling. Now, this is history. If you want to call it history, when people tell you things.
Secondhand history.
That's good. How scared she was coming across the Columbia River, because it was just, you know.
Yes.
So we were there about 3 years, and Mom received a letter from my Aunt Nan, who was teaching at Ladd Canyon. And she said, "Mary, I am going to move from Ladd Canyon to Blue Mountain, and the school's going to be open. If you're interested, why don't you write to them and apply if you want to come back to the valley?" And they did want to come back. So they came back. Mom got the school. They came back. And she taught at Ladd Canyon, and Dad worked for farmers. And Mom and Reba and I stayed with the councils behind the Ladd Canyon school out in the field. Do you know where the old Ladd Canyon school
yes.
is?
And this would have been in about the mid-1920s, I think.
Well, I was almost six, so I was born in 1918. This would be 24.
Yeah.
I can remember Mom walking with Mother, leaving Reba with a Mrs. Peebler. Peebler, not council. Peebler. Walking across the field in the wind and the snow to school, and I went to school with Mother in the first grade, and Ed Council was in the eighth grade, I remember, and who else? I don't remember who the others
were. Did it make you feel at all peculiar?
Dr. Young's mother, well, I think, went to school Banton.
Yes.
I think went to school
yes,
at Tamar. She went to school to Mother someplace.
I've interviewed her about
Oh, you know that.
Yes.
Okay. Good land. I mean, y'all live in this little valley, you know everybody,
well,
or they all know everything about you before you get there.
I got a lot about a lot of people.
Anyway.
Did you feel at all peculiar to be the daughter of
no.
the teacher?
My mother expected me to do as well or better.
She treated you like
you
everybody
bet.
Else?
I got
no teachers.
No
pet.
Kudos at all. she wasn't cross with me. She just had high expectations. And I went to first, I don't remember for sure. I went to first and second grade there. And then we moved to Perry, and Dad went to...
Before you do that...
Okay.
I know that your memories of first grade may be a little dim by now, but...
Oh, I could read before I went to school.
I remember kindergarten very well, so
I
bet you can remember
kindergarten?
First grade. Yes.
You lived in the modern day.
Give me a little sense of what the pattern of activities was during a typical school day.
Well, I do not remember whether we had prayer or not. You know, they made such a big fuss about prayer, but I do not remember whether we prayed or not. I remember that we did the flying salute.
Every day.
You bet. Mm-hmm. We stood up and did the flying salute.
Was that the very first thing you did when you came in from outside?
Yes. Well, you be sure, yeah.
After you got
a drink and...
Mm-hmm. I presume you first sat down in your desk.
You sat down. Then you stood up.
Did you fold your hands like this?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
You weren't allowed to talk or throw spitwads or anything?
You were supposed to be quiet. Mm-hmm. You were supposed to be. And of course, there was always one boy that managed something, but...
Yes. All right, after the flag salute, what?
Well, we sang... Maybe we sang the Star Spangled Banner, but we sang America the Beautiful and whatever. Mm-hmm. And...
no accompaniment. Or did
she played the piano. What do you mean? Yes, we had accompaniment. My mother played the piano.
I think that was a little unusual.
Yeah.
No piano.
Yeah. But then she was, anyway. But, and then I think we had what they now call show and tell. Each child got to say something about what had happened to him, you know, that type. And then it's really interesting because I might have had three other people in the first grade with me. I don't remember that. And there might have been four in the second. She taught all the way through the eighth grade. But she only had a few in each grade, and some grades you didn't have any in. But
did
this made you an ideal person to teach groups later.
Sure. Did she have the first graders sitting together and the seventh graders sitting together and so on?
Pretty much. But I can remember sitting with Ed sometime during the day, I must have had a manner. We must have manners in those days.
Okay. Ed was an eighth grader?
But she didn't send me to sit with him. But he was probably helping me with reading or something, you know.
Something each one like. Teach one.
As the Dale Council's dad out here at the end of the valley.
By the way, were these desks all fastened together in rows?
They weren't fastened together,
no.
But
I
don't think. Yes, we had separate desks. Mm-hmm. And we got up when the nicest thing about so many grades. And I firmly believe this as an educator. I do. The little kids could hear what the big kids were doing, and the big kids could hear what the little kids were learning. They reviewed, and they knew what they were going to get later. And I don't think you can beat that. And I've taught all sorts of things.
Yes.
And I've had interns from the college, and I've had a college program and
Let's
all
get
that.
Back to what happened in the first grade. When did strict teaching begin? Teaching of a subject of some kind.
Strict?
Well, I mean, singing the America the Beautiful and having a flag salute, those were parts of the routine.
Mm-hmm.
When did the teaching of a subject...
I suppose right after that.
Okay. What would it typically be first?
Probably reading.
And did you have a reader, something like McGuffey's reader?
We had readers.
McGuffey's reader?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, probably. Sounds familiar.
What was the teacher, in this case your mother, doing to help you learn to read in that book?
Well, sir, I could read before I went to school, but helping
she
others,
reading, so
she taught phonics.
Something.
She had phonics on the board. He's really making me think of things that I didn't pay much attention to.
You mean she'd have a list of words that might be in the selection you were going to read?
Yes,
and then
on the board, and you discuss that.
Talk about their meanings.
I didn't have to, but the others did.
Well, you were being
taught. I was there.
So you had to do what she asked you to do, didn't you?
I listened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I listened. Mm-hmm. We probably spoke up here and there, but I already knew. But we did have phonics. And it didn't hurt most people.
Give me your definition of what phonics is.
well, sounding out things. But let me tell you, my philosophy of reading is people learn to read in a lot of different ways, so you need a lot of different. Some can hear it, some can't hear it.
When you say sounding out, you mean syllable by syllable or letter by letter?
Pretty much sound by sound, I think.
So, syllables have sounds and letters have sounds. Now, you can take it a letter at a time, which produces a pretty distorted result, pronunciation, or you can do it by syllables.
Well, must have been syllables, then.
Mm-hmm. Like transportation, something like that.
I don't remember that part. I can remember, like, study. Yeah, I guess so. Pocahontas. I guess. We did lots of puzzles.
Did your mother combine, as you recall, any sight words? Like the,
yes, I think
two,
yeah,
and four?
Yes.
So you didn't have
she
to sound
mom,
all over
mom, I think
all
mother
time.
Was pretty, I think mom was pretty modern for her age, but you must remember in those days, they taught by rote and memory. And children learn by rote and memory. And when I got into you shouldn't learn rote. Rote is so boring. That is not true. There are not many people that can tell all the boundaries of the states and their capitals and the rivers. Now, some people may not think that's very good, but there are many times in your life that you can use those things.
Sure. I don't think the argument
it
is
went
much
too
over
far
whether
this
you
life.
Should do any of that at all as how to combine the two or three or four.
Philosophy.
After the reading section of school,
we had math was very important.
Well, recess?
Oh, yes, recess was important. We probably had probably didn't have recess till 10:30. So I imagine we had maybe two classes, reading and math probably. I don't remember. I just went to school.
I'm just asking the questions. You tell me what you remember.
This
all.
Is just it's kind of like a faint picture,
yes,
you know.
Yes, sure.
Then we had recess, which was a lot of fun, and this
suppose
is when we played these games.
And, suppose it was raining or snowing, what did you
we
do?
We stayed in the house and colored pictures. Or I can remember the big kids sitting around. We always had a wood stove, sitting around that and talking and maybe playing some kind of a game, you know, that... I don't think it rained in those days.
Did your mother have lots of games available?
I think.
What was a typical game?
Now, which one of these students of hers did you talk to? The Cartwrights went to school to her when they were at Willowdale, and they were in the fourth and fifth grade then.
I talked to Verna.
No, she didn't have Verna. No. Verna was a McClure. Okay.
I haven't talked to the other Cartwrights yet. I'm curious about the games. These were board games, were they?
In the house?
Yeah,
I don't remember being in the house very much.
Okay.
We played jump rope, hopscotch, all that stuff outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, maybe it didn't rain that often. Ha ha. And if it snowed, I mean, kids put their coats on and they went outside. You know.
Did the teacher go out too?
She usually did, yeah. And at least three or four times during the recess and checked anyway, you know.
What was she checking on?
Oh, just see how it was going.
Well, what might have gone wrong if she hadn't gone out?
Oh, some big bully might have picked on some other person or something.
I bet that happened anyway.
Not under her eye.
No. What did you do for lunch?
You know, I get this mixed up with my own teaching because I can remember the lunch buckets opening later. Later. This is later.
Yeah.
And the tuna fish. Wow! did we have peanut butter then?
I think so.
I don't know what we ate. We had sandwiches and an orange or whatever. You know, brown lunch, brown bag.
Did you bring some kind of drink with you?
We drank out of a bucket with a dipper. Water.
Oh.
And if you wanted to take something, I guess we did. I don't remember that. I don't remember taking anything.
This bucket was in the schoolroom, and the teacher would keep it full.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And everybody drank out of the same dipper.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any thought of
contagious
diseases from doing that?
He got shot for everything. He didn't dare get a contagious disease.
Not for colds.
No.
So
I don't remember that many. I think it's when people started having warm houses and not getting outside to exercise and stuff is when the colds began.
I think people were sick less often, right?
Yeah, quite a bit less. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't mix in big crowds because they lived, you know, I don't remember. We did have things like, we haven't got that far, but later I had scarlet fever. I mean, that's sort of.
Sure.
But we haven't got that far.
Most kids did have the usual contagious disease.
Am I giving you anything at all?
I'll tell you if you're not. Afternoon, after lunch, what was the usual routine? Very similar to the morning?
Well, then mother, we had to do our own writing, printing, or whatever we did then. On our own. Now, we didn't write cursive much yet till the second or about the third grade. Third grade. But we had to do our own work, and she usually had something on the blackboard if we could read for us to do. And she made her own worksheet type things, as I remember, and we practiced while she listened to the upper grade. She had to listen to everybody. So some worked and some recited. You know.
Mean, for example, she might write on the board a question from social studies, and you had to write an answer to it?
You used your book and looked up the maps and the atlas. And of course, this was probably more for the older children than the little ones, but some of that work for little ones.
Usually first graders can start writing simple sentences.
Were you a superintendent?
No.
He sounds like one.
Well,
he's going to write part of it.
I taught people how to teach then. That's why.
So did I. I was a master teacher, and I had children, people under me from the college. But I had a lot of fun.
Did the school day end about 3:30?
Not before that. I think if a parent could come pick up a first or second grade child a little earlier, that they could get out a little earlier. But most people, you know, couldn't do that or didn't, because the fathers had the cars and the mothers couldn't go that far. You know, most of it was in the country school, you had to walk a ways.
Sure.
So I don't. Mm-hmm.
When it came to a holiday, Halloween or Easter or Christmas?
Programs.
The teacher was expected pretty much to have a program that the parents would all attend.
Actually, the community social life to a certain extent, if the little schools went around the school. On the programs were very important. Very.
Where do you think, in retrospect, where do you think your mother and other teachers got their ideas for these programs?
Oh, I used to have, and I got rid of them, I'm sorry. You'd probably like to see them. I had about 5 little program books, and had the most.
Would they contain such things as how to make decorations?
Oh, yes.
Poems and plays
plays. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't terribly difficult for a teacher to come up with ideas then.
No.
The hard part was getting the kids to learn to do the right things, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember about how long you practiced for a program?
Seemed like forever. But
would that come in the afternoons?
Yes, usually, the end of the day. But children expected it. I mean, it was something that you expected to be in, because it was just like the church Christmas program. Now you can hardly get a kid to be Joseph. In those days, they just figured they were going to be Joseph or Mary or something sooner or later, you know.
If it was a play, were there any sorts of costumes?
Yes. Yeah, Mom's helped me. And we had a lot of, as I remember, a lot of, what did they call it? Crepe paper.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You can do a lot with crepe paper.
Yes.
Including
you're bringing me back my whole life without.
Including decorate the room. Did you do that?
Oh, yes. Hang, you know. Mm-hmm. Halloween was so much its own thing. They were so excited about Halloween. Kids were.
Yeah.
And they've always been. Halloween's been kids' big thing, you know. They're so tired by Christmas, they couldn't care less. But Halloween, to kids, is exciting. And
would you say that making decorations for these events would be pretty much the art program?
Yes.
And was there anything more to the music program than singing America the Beautiful in the morning?
Oh, yes. We learned a lot of other songs. You know, I don't
Did
remember.
You perform?
Oh, yes, they sang. Oh, yeah. And we sang probably 5 or 6 songs during the program.
Were you learning anything at all about reading music?
Do I know anything about
it? No, in school, as a student, were you learning anything about reading music? Notes?
No, not a lot. Okay. Not then. Not that age.
Was there any use of instruments other than the piano? Drums?
Well, if
whistles?
one of the fathers had a banjo or something like that, he might play for the program.
Not till
I was up in 7th and 8th grade or something like that.
What were the principal discipline problems that the teacher might have?
Oh, I suppose she might have got a little back talk. I don't remember. You see, I get her that part and my teaching sometimes a little mixed up.
I understand.
The reason we didn't have, I don't say the mother was a strict disciplinarian. She expected people to behave and to mind and to do their job well and all that. But parents backed her.
Yeah.
That made discipline a lot easier. If you didn't behave at school, you had trouble at home.
Yes.
Only once in the blue moon did you ever have a parent that didn't back you. And that happened when I went out to teach. You get in trouble at school, you're in trouble at home. And they didn't ask what you did. They just figured the teacher was right. Because they wanted their child to grow up and have it better than they did. And they believed that education would do that. Now people blame the school. But you don't want to get into that, do you?
No, not so much that. I want more about your direct experience as much as you can remember.
Okay. How am I doing so far?
You're doing fine.
Okay. Oh, I want to do better than fine.
At what point did you and your mother take off for Perry to have a school?
Well, I think I must have been about 3rd grade. Don't ask me any dates, because I don't. But at Perry then, there was a mill, lumber mill.
Yes, I have a picture of it.
So there were quite a few people living in Upper and Lower Perry. There were 2 schoolhouses. And you have that's in that Union history of Union County.
Yes.
Nice building, really nice building. My mother taught the building that had the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and she was principal of both buildings. And you know, I don't remember how many years she taught there. I think I skipped the 3rd grade and the 5th. 4th grade, I went to, now that might not be right, because I went to Mrs. Nephi Combs, who taught in the primary one year, and that might have been 3rd grade. Maybe I missed, no, I skipped 3rd and 5th.
Well, I'm mainly interested in the experience. Why did your mother accept that job?
I think she made a little more money. And Dad got a job at the mill.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
But it was job with more responsibility than she'd had before, and she had other little
You
kids.
Didn't know my mother.
She was a good worker. Is that right?
She said, if you started a job, you finished it. Yep.
You were living, initially you were living in Perry.
Yes, we lived there then through my, I went to school to my Aunt Allie Bam up there. Why I'm telling you that I skipped those 2 grades is that's the way they enrich kids in those days. And then when I was in the 8th grade, in the meantime, the folks had bought property on H Street where the low housing is on H and 14th. You got 14th and then H Street runs this way just below the cemetery where the college students live in the low cost
apartment buildings.
Well, at that time there was nothing there. So the folks bought 3 acres there. And Dad built us a home there. And so the last year that she taught at Perry, if I remember correctly, I think she was up there about 5 or 6 years. But the last year, she drove alone, and I went, Reba and I went to Central that one year, and then on to high school.
How vividly can you remember actually living in Perry?
Now I can remember that better. Most
of the houses, I think, were rather small, weren't they?
I guess, but you know, to a child, you don't pay attention to what the house looked like.
Was there any indoor plumbing?
We lived with Morris Robinson's mother. Do you remember Morris Robertson?
No.
He was head of housing at Oregon State for a while.
Was there indoor plumbing there?
In Perry?
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm trying to get a sense of Upper and Lower Perry looked like and what kind of a community it felt like.
It was a good community.
All oriented around the mill, wasn't it?
Right.
Probably
and
no
people
one
had things in common.
There weren't any stores. There probably no one lived there who didn't work in some way at the mill or was a family of the
Pretty
mill.
Pretty much, leader. That's true, I think, yes.
So it might be called a mill town.
Right.
Yes.
You could call it that.
I'm sure it felt different to live there than it had at Lab Canyon or wherever.
Right, because you had people around you, a lot of people. They were your neighbors.
Yes.
In fact, when Dad got the house built a little ways,
on H Street?
Yeah, I got to be about 12, Dad began to have terrible migraines. Oh. Just terrible migraines. So he gave up his job at the mill. And it was built this house for us. And he built a really nice house on H Street. Not real fancy, but a nice house for those days. And so he stayed down there. And Mom and Reba and I rented, like Mrs. Robinson. And then we did have a home of our own up there before he did that. Because when the summer that Reba and I had scarlet fever, Warren put us under warranty, and Dad couldn't come in the house because he would take it back to other people. And so we were living as a family up there then.
Did they call it warranty rather than quarantine?
Quarantine, excuse me.
You meant quarantine.
Yeah,
okay.
You're right.
I thought maybe that was a variation.
No, that's just me.
Living in that little community of Perry.
I loved it.
For instance, on weekends, was there a lot of intermixing?
Yeah.
Games?
But people did that in those days. They entertained themselves.
Did you get into one another's houses?
No, I think we mostly played outside, and then once in a while we'd have dinner with someone else, you know, that way, trade meals or something. Mm-hmm. No, I don't remember playing in the houses particularly. Mm-hmm.
On the whole, was it a fairly simple existence? Few luxuries?
Well, I suppose we didn't think it was simple then.
Well, in retrospect.
In compared to now, yeah. I guess it would, yes.
Did you have radios?
Very few.
Did you come into a movie in Le Grand occasionally?
Very seldom.
Mm-hmm. Were you paying attention to the trains as they went by?
I have a train go by here all the time.
Yes.
I love them. I guess so, yeah. You got to remember I was a child, though, see?
Well,
when I got older, then I could... By the time I was in the 7th grade, I probably would remember more than I liked living at Perry.
I think you're remembering more than you admit.
I'm having a lot of fun anyway.
Especially because you started this by saying the things you remember
it's
most
the
are
feelings.
Your feelings.
Yes.
Okay.
Am I getting them out?
Yes, your feelings and what you observed.
I think it was a wonderful place to live. Now, that's from a child's perspective.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm sure Mom and Dad had problems,
yes,
just like everybody does.
I'm trying to get you to be specific about why it was wonderful.
I guess because people were nice to you. They were nice to each other. The kids, as I remember, I'd play like, here I was a little girl, and I'd play this Run Sheep Run and this stuff at night with a lot of these big kids and little kids. I don't remember everybody being mean to anybody else. There probably was some of that. But I don't remember. People just did things. People entertained themselves and each other. And they didn't depend on a lot of hootenanny stuff.
Did you feel close to natural things?
Yeah, always have.
The rocks,
always
the trees,
have.
The
always
hills?
Have.
I mean, especially at Perry.
Yes, and the buttercups.
You might have felt closer to them there than you would have anywhere else in the valley.
No, I feel pretty close to them right here.
Well, just because Perry is in a kind of an enclosed area, so I would think living there, you would feel as though you're almost always in touch with natural things.
I think you felt kind of safe there. You had the hills around you, and you had the rocks and the plants, but then I've always loved that, so I don't know when that started. Probably the day I was born.
The main highway, what was called the main highway at that time, went very close to Perry, so you could see the cars and the trucks as they went by, couldn't you? Would you call the traffic light?
Not for those days. But now it would be.
But
you didn't.
In those days, were you seeing maybe 5 or 6 cars an hour?
You might. Mm-hmm. But see.
What in your child's imagination, what did you think about where those people were going and why they were going wherever they were going?
I don't know if I ever paid any attention to that.
A child, I think, couldn't help but look at those cars, try to see who's in them, and wonder about where they're going. Especially if you didn't go anywhere. Especially if your existence...
I don't think there were that many went by, and I don't think we worried about what our neighbors were doing that way, because almost nobody did that. Once in a while, people that were carrying things for stores might go by, but there really weren't that many car cars.
I'm not suggesting anybody would have worried about what other people were doing, just wondering.
Oh, probably. I don't know. I'm a pretty good wonder, so yeah. I don't know. I might have.
Did you hear people talk about Portland and Boise?
Yeah, some. But it was way off, like I said, a trip to the moon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't think much about it. I wasn't going to go anyway. So
are you telling me then that you didn't try to imagine what they looked like or what people did there?
I don't know. I have a good imagination, but whether I used it then or not, I don't know.
There were newspapers at that time, and you were old enough to read. You knew how to read before you went to first grade. What newspapers did you see, and what do you remember?
Didn't we have one by Courier or something? What was his name? Well, we read the local paper.
The Grand Paper.
Yeah, and then there was another one.
At the time, it contained quite a variety of news, not just local news, but... Yeah. World news.
I suppose. My dad, I can remember talking later, when I was in the 7th grade and this and that, about that age. I can remember my father discussing politics and what was going on in the world. We were allowed to do this at the dinner table. And this is why Reba and I can stand up in front of a crowd and talk, because we were allowed and encouraged to give our opinion and, to debate or argue or whatever you want to call it,
Would he get that started by saying, well, I read so-and-so Warren Harding, for example, has done so-and-so. What do you think about that?
Yes. Dad was very, and Mom was too, but Dad was very good about that.
How were you supposed to form opinions on subjects like that?
I don't know, because he let us give our own.
You have to have some information. Where did you get it?
Well, I suppose he read the paper to us, because I remember sitting on his lap, and he was tall and he had long arms, and mm-hmm. he would sit there and read the paper over, and I suppose that's where we got.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And
he was very good at teaching you that way.
Yes, he was acting like a teacher.
He only went to the third reader himself.
I suppose being married to a teacher, though, he felt some responsibility.
I don't know, he was just that kind of a guy.
Good.
I was lucky.
I know this may be pushing too far, but...
Probably not.
if this happened regularly with your father, was part of the routine in the house most evenings, is that right?
Yes, and I remember them reading the Bible to us, and... Mom and Dad, and discussing things, and we were allowed to ask questions and talk. You know, a lot of people don't even talk to their children now. So
well, that's what I'm curious about.
We felt free.
Try to get a little more specific about what those discussions were like.
Well, he was a great Democrat, and my mother was a great Republican, so I heard a lot of that.
Do you know why he was a Democrat?
Yes, because he believed in helping others, and the Republicans in those days took their money and stuck it in their pockets. And
well, also, he was a laboring
man. I don't know. But we didn't have necessarily believe what we were debating. We just were allowed to do it. And I can remember going to college, and half the people in the class would cry because they had to get up and say something. Well, I'd been encouraged to say what I felt all my life, as long as I didn't hurt anybody with it. And I still have firm beliefs about things. But I'm pretty live and let live. How are we doing?
Fine. Is there anything else about the Perry experience that stands out in your mind?
Well, last summer we had scarlet fever. It was miserable because it was hot and we had to stay in bed and keep out of the light because it wasn't as bad as measles that way. But they believed that if it was too bad, it would affect your heart, you know. And let's see, what else? I made a lot of good friends that I knew for years from the kids that I went to Perry with. Milton Smith and Wesley Smith and the Greeno. Of course, I get that mixed up. I think I went to school with the Greenos, but maybe Mother just taught them later. But, you know, you get a little... Let's see, what else about Perry?
There was the mill there, and there was the dam on the river.
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever allowed to get close to those places?
No, I don't remember that we were... No, I don't think so. I don't think we were.
Was there a fence around it so you couldn't get to it?
I don't remember that either. Must not have played on that part of town.
You think the boys might have done it more than the girls?
Probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How noisy was the mill, and how smelly?
Didn't affect me at all.
Well,
I mean, I don't remember. I don't remember that it was. It smelled like a mill.
The impression that you ignored it.
I don't think it was that. I think it's like Boise Cascade. When you smell that, you smell people working. It's productive. You can look at things half full or not half full.
Well, I'm not telling you, I'm not asking you whether you liked it or not, just what it was.
Well, if I liked it, I would have been more, or disliked it. If I disliked it, I would have remembered it.
Sure. Were all the, was all the machinery at the mill powered by burning wood? Or did they use coal, or was there electricity?
Must have used some coal.
Do you remember black smoke?
If they had electricity, they ran it up there especially for that.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's quite possible that they did.
They might have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, didn't men have to go out and stand on the logs and move them around with pickaxes?
They used to bring them down the Grand Round River, and I remember... They did that for several years.
Sure.
I can remember them bringing the logs down the river. I guess I must have seen it then.
Yeah, you must have.
And that was a fun thing to see. And it looked a little dangerous to me, but they were pretty good at it. It's the way a guy made a living.
As far as you know, while you were there, were there any accidents?
I don't know.
Do you think you would have heard about them if there had been?
Yeah, but I don't remember. Sure, I probably would have heard about it then.
What sort of work was your father doing at the mill?
I don't know.
He didn't talk about it?
Probably. I didn't pay attention to that. He brought home a good wage. We had food to eat and fun. If you ever get up to high school, I might be able to remember a few more things.
Okay.
It's kind of like I said, I lived it. Yes. I just lived. I didn't. If I were a man like you, I would be more logistic. I would remember dates, and I would remember places, and I am not a man,
I
am not a logistic thinker.
I'm a feeling thinker.
You know what I mean,
though. Experiences that I'm asking you about.
Well, some of them I didn't have, I guess, because I can't remember.
Let's move then to the time when you moved into the house on 8th Street, and you started going to LeGrand Schools. Did you say you were in eighth grade?
I went to the eighth grade where the mid school is now, the old Central.
Yeah, Central School. It was only eighth grade, I think, at that time. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, that was very different from the Perry or the Live Canyon experience, I must assert.
Yes, it was a little bit of a cultural shock, I guess, partly because in my class in the eighth grade, almost every kid had gone from the first grade through the eighth grade or through the seventh together.
Yes.
And I was the new kid on the block. I don't remember that they were unkind to me. I don't mean that. But it took a while to feel comfortable.
Sure.
And the fact that we lived out on H Street, which was out of ways, I was not living near any of them. They all came from town, and some of them lived pretty close together, so they could play together in the evenings and stuff, and I didn't even see them in the evenings. I didn't seem to have any trouble, you know.
From what you've said about yourself, I think you were probably able to handle any social situations pretty well. Yeah. At that time, when you were entering what we now call teenage years or adolescent years, they weren't called that then, were they?
No.
No, you were 13 or 14 years old.
People didn't make anything of you being a teenager.
We missed that. Necessarily a distinct stage of life.
We didn't get any more honor than anybody.
Yes. Or did you perceive yourself as having problems that you
as
hadn't
a teenager?
Had earlier? Yeah.
Well, I suppose everybody goes through some emotional change at that time. People did not say, oh, you know, he's a teenager. You just sort of went through those years, and then after a while, and Sprunk or somebody came along, people began to pay a lot more attention to teenagers.
So we redefined that period of life in the last 25 or 30 years.
I suppose physically and emotionally we had changes, yeah. Yes. And we didn't have all the modern products that they have nowadays to help us through them. And I remember that I was really surprised as I went from the eighth grade to high school that I was elected right away as freshman representative for the freshman class when I hadn't gone to school with all these kids till the eighth grade. But apparently I'd made my mark enough to represent them.
Let's talk a little bit about what you think you did to make your mark. Were you involved in sports or clubs during the eighth grade experience?
Well, by the time I was a freshman, I played volleyball, which I hated because they made you stand in the same place all day and you didn't get to, you know what I mean, you didn't rotate, you didn't do it like you do now.
You were assigned a position and you stayed there all the time?
Yes, not like that.
And this was a girls' team?
Yes.
No mixing of
no
boys.
Boys
and girls?
Mm-hmm. And basketball, if you were the forward, you stayed down here. And you couldn't walk, you couldn't run around the whole floor. You had to stand there and throw it in. I hated that. I played guard. I loved basketball, but I didn't like the way we... And one time they said we could play Elgin, and then they canceled it because girls shouldn't be running up and down the hall. But this is when I began to get into the music and loved it.
What were the musical opportunities?
I had Dr. Loney, who was my music teacher. And he was very close to Florence.
In the eighth grade?
No. I don't remember who taught us in the eighth grade.
I was focusing on the eighth grade to sort of get a sense of how you made the transition from being in a one-room school to this much larger school.
I don't know. I made good grades, so I must have done it. I don't know how I did it.
Well, you said you were involved with sports. Were these after-school sports, or was this
not in the eighth grade? I wasn't. No, we didn't do that in eighth grade. That was when we became freshmen.
Okay.
Yeah, it was after school. No, we did in PE too, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
apparently, you
were active enough and good enough at PE that people respected you.
I guess.
Yes. And for the on the academic side, what do you recall about the demands placed upon you that might have been different from the earlier grades?
I think maybe because my mother instilled in both Reba and I to do a good job and to work at what you're doing, and I think that helped us through things. Because a lot of kids didn't take it very seriously, you know. They weren't going to go on to college. They were going to get out and get a job.
Indeed, many kids left school at the end of eighth grade, didn't they?
Pardon?
Many kids did leave school at the end of eighth grade.
Right.
They didn't go on to high school.
Right. And a lot of them didn't expect, you know, to. So I don't say that they caused a lot of trouble, but, and I suppose they did some, but they didn't worry about the things that would help them. And I think I knew I was going to go on if I could because my mom and dad said I was. And I don't know, I think I just did what I did very well in high school. I got my shock when I went to college because the first term I got a D because I took Oregon Law from, who was it? And I didn't have a, I was 15. I had the slightest idea what they were talking about, Oregon School Law. I made good grades on everything else that first term. So I told all my grandchildren who have graduated now from college, all of them, I said, when they were going to school, I said, don't worry, your grandma made a D the first term she went to college, and look how she turned out. Well, I'm going to give them a little...
sure, good advice. In eighth grade, was there homework?
Yes, there was quite a bit of homework, and I did it by an oil lamp. Up on my knees, on the chair, eating apples. I'll be... I'm eating apples and studying under this oil lamp whose light is out about that far.
So, the house was not wired?
Oh, no, there was no... In the country, around even LeGrand then, even when I was in the seventh grade, there weren't any. It was beginning to come in. It was beginning.
I thought you said that when you were in eighth grade, you were living on 8th Street.
We were.
Yes. And at that time, there was no electrical service?
No, I shouldn't say there might have been some. Out in the country. There was in LeGrand, but not. See, we were out just far enough.
That's why I'm puzzled. If you were in eighth grade and living on 8th Street in LeGrand, why were you using an oil lamp for homework?
Because we didn't have electricity in the house.
Okay. That's what I wanted to establish.
And we did not have a gas lantern like we should have had.
Mm-hmm. In that respect, it was like living out on a ranch at the time.
Yes, most country, you know, most of most country places, it's like I was saying, they were beginning to put in a few around.
Yeah.
And by the time I was out of, I don't know, I think I was clear out of high school before we ever had lights in the house. I think. Maybe into college. And I remember that, of course, you know, you didn't have anything to compare it to. You were living your life then. And you didn't have any to compare to. You were better off than your parents had been. And, you know, now I can compare all that stuff, but then that's what I did to learn, and that's what I did to get through my studies. You know?
Sensible people had a tendency to accept things the way they were, pretty much.
Yeah. Whether you liked it or not.
LeGrand High School, right next door to Central School, when it was a, I think you mentioned that you were there, or it was in your sophomore year that the school burned.
I don't know whether it was sophomore or junior. Maybe it was sophomore. I don't know, one of those years.
It doesn't matter.
That was a terrible year.
Yes, well, many people have talked about that experience.
It was a fun year in a way because I guess you made friends with other people from other classes because everybody was always going this way and that way, you know.
Sure.
But I can remember sitting... taking algebra on the stage in downstairs in the Mormon church and sitting there with my coat on and here are all these books I've carried, you know, and your overshoes if you left them on, which I didn't.
The fire was caused by arson. Did you ever hear any stories about the arsonist?
Is that one of the kids from my class?
No.
No. What was that one?
He was a volunteer fireman who needed a little extra income. And you got extra income by setting fires.
I'd forgotten that. I probably knew it at one time.
It's a pretty well authenticated story. I wondered, though, whether kids had some awareness that it was an arson fire.
Yes, it was, and it was an awesome year. You'd gather up all these books and this stuff and walk down to the Methodist church.
I said arson.
Oh, well, I thought you said awesome.
I guess it was awesome, too.
It was awesome.
Yes.
You just pile up all these books that you're going to study all day, and you got your lunch over here and this here, and you're wearing this coat and all this stuff, and you walk there, and then you walk down to the Methodist church with all that stuff, and then over to the Zuber Brick, and
nobody had a backpack.
Never heard of them.
Right.
Would have been nice.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been real nice. But we didn't know any different. We just knew we were missing. I'll tell you, it taught us one thing. When we went to the new high school the next year, we were very grateful kids. You could put your books down and leave them in your locker, and you didn't have to. People don't know until they experience something how well off they are.
When you came back to LeGrand High School, to the repaired building, were you as serious as ever about studies?
Yeah, I seemed to do okay. I was in Girls League. I sang, I was in the operettas at Mr. Loney. I sang Aldo, and I was in the operettas that Mr. Loney gave. And I was chosen to go to Forest Grove to the singing contest or whatever, but I didn't even ask my parents because I knew they couldn't afford to send me. I tried to explain that to Dr. Loney, and he was sweet, and so was your mother-in-law. I remember them. And what else did I do? No outside sports, see, because they wouldn't let us run. They were saving us for something, I don't know what. And
you mean the girls?
You know, we had it in PE, but they all of a sudden, we couldn't play other schools and things because of this new idea of running up and down the floor was not good for girls, you know.
Did they say anything more about that, the reason for that? What was not good for you?
I think it jiggled your insides or something. I don't know.
This was the new idea about feminine
hygiene. Yeah, something like that, I don't know. Something.
Uh-huh. Well,
I remember my high school years. You know, they were pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't go steady. Oh, the only people who ever went steady, everybody looked at us kind of oddball.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you know of any girls who became pregnant?
Oh yeah.
High school?
Oh yeah. That's
what
always
to them.
I guess they got married. I hope.
Did they disappear from the scene suddenly?
They couldn't go to school.
Right.
But they could marry, and most of them married.
You never saw a girl
no.
walking around the school.
Oh, no. You could see the boy walking around school, but you couldn't see the girl.
Yes.
He should have had a sign on him, too, but he didn't.
Yes.
I'm very much pro-whatever.
And by that time, I should think you would have had some opinions on matters like this.
I did.
What was your opinion about why a girl who became pregnant and wasn't married was somehow forbidden to be seen or part of the group?
Well, that goes clear back through history. Way back through
history.
Yes,
but at the time you weren't thinking about history.
No, but I'm just saying that was a general feeling, and while it began to get a little better as time went along, it was always the girls' fault, not the boys. And being pregnant was vulgar or something, but having a baby, but seeing the baby was so darling.
Yes, yes. Would it be accurate to say that it was a badge of shame to be pregnant?
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know, after you were married, that it was shame. It was just something bad about it. You know, keep it covered. And then, now, shoot.
Didn't you wonder about that at the time?
Probably. I've always been very pro-woman.
Right.
I'm not a women's liberal.
You strike me as someone who forms her own opinions and holds them rather strongly. And I imagine as a high school student, you were doing that.
Yes, but you see, we didn't have very many girls that got pregnant that we knew anything about. And of course, we kind of frowned on going steady, because who wanted to go with the same guy all the time? You wanted to have fun. You know, if you went to these dances, they had a big stag line, and you might have danced with 20 guys that night. You had a wonderful time. If you were going with one guy, you were stuck with him all night. And
now we use the term playing the field. Is that what
those
girls were doing?
You can change my language around any way you want to. You won't hurt my feeling. Well, isn't that what?
Isn't that the way it is? I just wonder if you think that term that we use now really applied to the way things
playing
were
the field.
Then.
Well, I think it's the way you look for your mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one of the mating things, you know. But I think it's a lot better when marriage is only, when they only have 50% of them last 8 years now. I think we had a better way in some ways. We got to try out, and I'm just saying we got to know a lot of different boys. And it was easier to choose somebody that you, but it had something in common with you, and you had that you could. It was better than marrying a guy you lived with, and then you got married, and then you divorced with. I've got 7 grandchildren, so I don't say much. Then none of them living with anybody, so I'm okay so far, that I know of. Good heavens! Turn that thing off.
No.
What do you want to know? This is fun.
Good. Tell me about the graduation ceremony that you went through at LeGrand High School. Was it an evening event?